Hello, Cubs fans, and welcome to a brand new edition of Cubs on Tap. Happy Sunday, Bunday, from the Cubs on Tap crew. Tyler, before we get this thing started, first off, Tyler Edmonds, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Ron Luce. We get to put it on the hat today. The W is out. Happy Sunday, Funday, folks. The Cubs take down the Seattle Mariners on Sunday with a dub, and with that being the case, a series win is in the cards for the Cubbies, as our friends in the comments here, Hank Rodriguez, Cubs with exclamation points, and then Jeremiah saying, play the damn song. I agree, play the damn song, Tyler. Fly the W, Sunday Funday. Mr. Tyler Edmonds, how are you doing, my friend, on Sunday Funday?
Dude, I woke up this morning and it's been a beautiful day, a beautiful Sunday. It was like 77 degrees, perfect weather. The Busch Lights were going down smooth like water, smoother than a Michael Busch bomb itself. Which, speaking of that, Juice, you got a freaking time machine. I know it. That's the only way. That's the only answer. And I'm good, Ron. I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. Juice is, but I'm good. I'm good, Ron. How are you, man?
I'm doing well, man. I'm right there with you. It's a little Sunday fun day action. It was a beautiful day in the city of Chicago. For those that might not have known, hold on. Time out. I got to let my dad know something here real quick.
Yeah.
You have to drink a better beer. Dad, Busch Light is the better beer. I love Busch Light. I'm a big Busch Light
guy. If it ain't got a corn cob or a fish on it, Father Luce.
Or the camouflage.
Or some camo, I don't want it.
I don't want it. I don't want it. Like Jeremiah says, head for the mountains of Busch.
Yeah,
absolutely, 100%. Juice is on a wisdom heater. He will cool off soon enough. Hey, we will see. We will see if he does. My dad says, come on, boys. Hey, Busch Light's good beer. Don't get it twisted. He said it. And then Darren, we said it. Alzolay can be the man when it comes in with empty bases in the ninth. 100%. 2 days in a row with saves for this Cubs team. And Tyler, we get to start off this Sunday fun day with discussions of a series win. And you know what? I'll tell you what. I went to bed Friday night a little concerned.
Yeah.
The Cubs came out flat. 4-2 loss to the Mariners. Bryce Miller looked really good against this team. But a guy that just became a hero over the course of the weekend, gave us a little bit of spark. And then Shota and a couple other guys that we're going to discuss here tonight. But we gotta start with him. Michael Busch is on a fucking heater, Tyler.
The ripping and the tearing.
Four straight days of home runs. He's up to 5 on the season now. Juice is up to 7 out of 14 on the season. He's at a 500 clip. Tyler, Michael Busch, whose heater is better right now, Michael Busch or Juice's?
It's pretty close. It's pretty freaking close. But like you said, Friday was flat. Friday felt like, because I don't have Apple TV. Now, I have other ways of watching the game that, you know, maybe might not be so legal, but I was able to watch part of the game in and out. It almost felt like I wasn't at the party, so I was like texting my friends about the party, like how's it going? It's not good, man. But Friday did feel a little flat. But like you said, Michael Busch, just like he provided that hope, just that little spark on Friday that he was able to carry over on not just Saturday, but on Sunday. You know what's crazy, though? I got to just like looking around at his stats, and Baseball Reference had his projections this season at how many home runs do you think, Ron?
17.
8.
Ugh.
8. Now I get it. I don't look too far into Baseball References projections, but I thought it was pretty interesting just to see that he's already 3 away from proving them wrong. But man, that trade right now, it's looking pretty nice. I'll say that it is looking pretty nice. And also a nice little shout out today from Matt Mervis. Matt Mervis on Twitter, like shouting out Michael Bush, like just really giving him all the praise this weekend. It was great to see.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, I think Michael Bush, Tyler, is such a guy who we saw the comments. We can go back into the archives here.
Yeah.
And find the people that truly were like, I don't know what Michael Bush is going to be. Mm-hmm. But I think we all sat here very collectively when the deal happened. We talked about it at CubsCon at nauseam because it happened just days before.
Yep.
Of like, this is the perfect opportunity of a guy who gets a fresh change of scenery, who otherwise would have been blocked by either Max Muncy, who's probably one of the best power hitters in the game of baseball at third base, or Freddie Freeman, who is a legitimate Hall of Famer at first base.
Yeah.
He was blocked at two positions. Gets a fresh opportunity, a fresh look on a team that he was going to have an opportunity with as well. And he is nothing but delivered. John Morrissey, Major League Baseball Insider today, giving some love to Michael Bush after the home run, saying, well, look at this guy taking advantage of an opportunity after the situation with the Dodgers. And I think that's truly what we can sit back on so far, Tyler, and make sense of with the Michael Bush acquisition, is that he has done nothing but take advantage of an opportunity. He's the everyday first baseman. The defense might not be perfect, but it's been good. Mm-hmm. And that dude is hitting the living shit out of the baseball. And I'll tell you what, the Bush bombs can keep them coming, because Tyler, it has made me excited about the depth of this lineup now.
Yeah.
Literally 2 through 6 can hit bombs on a really 1 through 6 when Hap is leading off.
Yeah.
Can hit bombs on a regular occasion and guide this offense into the Prosper Land.
Yeah, I mean, it's encouraging. It is just awesome to see. It goes to show what, like you said, taking advantage of an opportunity, a change of scenery, because let's also not forget he was also blocked by that Shohei guy, too, at the DH spot. So, yeah, it would have been easy for that guy to maybe sit back and be like, yeah, I'm out west, just living it up. And
do you mean the guy that got robbed of like $15 million, $20
million? Yes, $40 million? Guy.
That guy.
But yeah, it's just a classic example of a guy finally getting his opportunity, finally getting his chance to play, and he's taken the ball. He has taken the ball and bat. Let's just say the bat, and has just rolled with it. And absolutely, to kind of add on to what you were saying, like, go look at his Baseball Savant page right now, and it is just—it's like we talked about last episode. It is just smothered in red. And I'm not a genius. I'm not like super smart by any means, but I do know on Baseball Savant, red means good. Very, very, very good. And he has, Ron, a lot of red on that page.
So much red. It's as red as my Homage t-shirt I have on here today. It's a very humble plug of our friends over at Homage. I love these t-shirts. I can't wear them enough, and I've been doing it. We've been doing it. Scott has a fun little fact, too, here in relation to Mr. Michael Bush. Mm. Jackson Ferris with a 7-11, open 24 hours, ERA in 6 1/3 innings pitched. That's not a lot of work. It's minimal. It's early. But, again, I think what Scott is trying to remind everybody here, and this is where, like, this is my thought process I had earlier after that home run. Mm-hmm. I was talking to – everybody's going to get very used to this. So there's two people I regularly talk baseball with in my life. Really three. It's my mother, my father, and Katie. And for those that don't know who Katie is, Katie's my girlfriend. She has to deal with it every single day. She watches games with me. She fell asleep to last night's game because she was watching it with me up late. But I said today, Jackson Ferris was a bet that the Cubs made on Michael Bush and said, hey, we're going to bet on the present with a guy like Michael Bush, who's ready to come up to the major leagues at age 26 and contribute at a position of need, because Lord knows we needed a first baseman, as Jeremiah said here a little bit earlier in the comments. So we actually have a first baseman. I'm so happy. So am I, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
But not only do they have a first baseman, they gave away a guy who, yes, has high upside. We all know what Jaxon Ferris could be, but it's a huge maybe. And again, my favorite saying on this Cubs on Tap show, to the point where I could have my dad repeating it when I say, you know what I'm going to tell you. A prospect is a prospect until he's not a prospect anymore.
Yep.
And that's okay. The Dodgers needed guys not on the 40-man roster. They got that in Jaxon Ferris and Zaire Hope. Two very, very capable baseball players who might become great major leaguers someday. That's great. But in the current present moment of this Cubs team, who in a weak NL Central has a true opportunity to compete, they go out and get a guy like Michael Busch, who has done nothing but stand up and get the job done. And as Filmmaker says here, he says, Cubs win, Cubs bullpen still sucks. We're going to talk about the Cubs bullpen here in a little bit, but he says bye. And then Hank said it before, he'll say it again. If Constant takes Assad out of the rotation, he'll lose his shit. We're going to talk about that too here in a little bit. Scott from Iowa, prospects are prospects until they are not, said by someone. Goddamn right, Scott. You know exactly what I'm going to say. And my dad, yes, I do know that as well. Yes, because it's just the case. The Cubs took a calculated bet with Michael Busch. Mm-hmm. And sure, we're only 15 games into the season. But son of a bitch, in those 15 games, the bet looks really, really good right now, Tyler.
It does. And the impressive thing, I mean, the home runs are impressive, but the fact that he's batting 300, over 300 so far this young season. Now, another thing, too, I get it. Hey, Jaxon Ferris may work out for the Dodgers. To be honest, he probably will, because that's just how the Dodgers are. They'll figure something out with him. They'll put him in the machine that is the Los Angeles Dodgers, and when they spit him out, he'll be some freaking all-star, whatever. But it was a risk. It was a move that the Cubs had to make this offseason as far as first base goes, because who was going there if not? Maybe Cody Bellinger, but then, like we've done talked about this whole offseason, then, you know, that puts pressure on guys like PCA and everything like that. So the fact that Michael Busch has worked out so far has really, really dodged a lot of possible issues that could have happened had he not worked out. You know, Patrick Wisdom is hurt right now. So who takes that spot? You know, does Christopher Murray? It would have just been so many other issues going up right now. And so far, with the way Michael Busch has been playing in this short amount of time, it's just kind of hushed all that. He's kind of easily just taken over. That spot's his. Craig should pencil him in every game right now.
Yeah, 100%. You said it best. He is playing well enough on a cumulative level where he should be considered in the lineup every single day. Yeah. And you mentioned it, right? Like, who would have played first base if not for Michael Busch? I know a lot of people that are like, well, just put Belly there and then put PCA in center. Pico Armstrong right now, folks, and this is not a shot at PCA. This is just expressing that prospects need time to develop. He is only averaging 208 at the AAA level with a 613 OPS. That is well below league average. Let the boy learn how to play baseball. Let him get acclimated to guys that are closer to the pros than anything he's seen before. Let Belly play center.
Yeah.
Michael Busch has it fucking handled at first base. Yeah. And if he's going to continue to add this power, and you mentioned it, dude, I mean, look at the total cumulative numbers with a guy like Michael Busch. After tonight, a 327 average, that is best on this team of guys that start every single day. Only Seiya sniffs him at 305. Not a single player on this team has a four-digit OPS like Michael Busch does. 1,087 is Michael Busch's OPS as of today. He's getting the job done. And I'll tell you what, that six hole feels perfect for Michael Busch as well, because you load it up with talent, 1 through 5. And then he's the guy that, like, you would think pitchers wouldn't worry about, but they have to worry about, because the guy's on a four-day heater. So much so that every single one of us at the Cubs on Tap podcast put in our Dingers picks today. And then Juice was just like, sprinkled as Nostra Juice Dust. And says, Michael Busch is going to do it again for a fourth straight day. And I was like, you're a liar. Nope, I'm not a liar. I'm apparently wrong. There's a reason I have a goose egg on the board right now, Tyler.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Michael Busch has been sensational.
He has. And to kind of go back to what you were talking about earlier, like with the younger guys, as far as like who plays if he doesn't do well, the Cubs don't have the room really to do, let's say, what the Orioles are doing right now with Jackson Holliday. The guy finally got a hit today. Congratulations. But like the Cubs don't have the room for a guy to come up right now and figure things out. Like I get it. People want to talk about the week in El Central, which right now it's pretty competitive other than that team up in St. Louis. Every team is at least 500 right now. So I get it. Like we talked about last episode, you can't win a series, you can't win a division in April and May, but you can damn well lose one in April and May as far as like just digging yourself into a hole. So it's just they don't have that comfortability to let a guy figure it out right now.
Yeah.
So anyways, back to Bush though. Yeah, I swear, Juice, I know you're listening. I know you're going to listen. You have a time machine. That's the only thing. I said it earlier today when I was scooping the poop. 1A MLB story so far has been the Shohei Ipe little thing going on, which it sounds like it's kind of like going away for a little
run bit. Its course. Yeah, 1B, yeah.
Like 1B or like the new 1A is Juice on Tap has a baseball time machine. That's the only answer. That's the only logic. I'm not crazy. Okay. I'm not. Okay. He has a time machine. That's the only answer. Go buy a lottery ticket right now. Go buy a lottery ticket, Juice. That's the only thing. That's what I would do.
If you were swinging at a 500 clip right now, you would be in the all-star consideration. That's what Juice is doing with the Dinger Picks right now. 500 clip. We missed one game. So for reference, we missed one game with Dinger Picks because I was out of town. I'll take the responsibility of it. We didn't accumulate as a group like we always do. 14 games of the 15 so far we've done Dinger Picks. Mm-hmm. 7 Juice has correctly predicted a home run hitter. Juice is on another level right now. Yes. When it comes to picking home run hitters. But I'll tell you what, speaking of another level, we have to sit here and just appreciate this Cubs team a little bit. And we have to dive into some other storylines here, Tyler, but I want to get to the comments as well. Jeremiah, are we at a consensus that Wisdom will take Garrett Cooper's spot? Do you have a quick answer to this one?
I mean, if not him, who? And that's no knock on Garrett Cooper because Garrett Cooper hasn't been awful, but I would say, yeah, he's probably taking his spot.
That'll be interesting to see. I don't know. Garrett Cooper's been really good when he's been in the lineup, so I don't know how you can.
I mean, it's either
justify.
Him, I was gonna say, is it either him or is it
Madrigal?
Because I don't see Tauchman leaving.
Yeah, and in fairness, as Darren said here, what if Morel keeps improving at third base? They have first and third shored up.
If it's between Cooper and Madrigal, the only reason I say Cooper is because of Madrigal's ability to play third base. And I noticed, yeah, I mean, like everybody knows, Craig Counsell's had that, hey, they got the lead late. Let's take out Morel at third, throw in Madrigal, sure. Do that kind of thing. He's kind of got that thing. Now, maybe later in the season, maybe that's a different answer because maybe later in the season, Morel has developed a lot more as a third baseman, which I know we're going to talk about here probably later. He's shown some signs just in these past few games of improvement here and there. So maybe later in the season, that's a different answer. But I could see Cooper being the guy that is replaced by Paddy Wisdom.
Yeah, and keep in mind, Mastroboni is still on this roster.
Oh, and Mastroboni, sorry.
So a guy that maybe it's Mastroboni that gets sent down in place of Wisdom. We'll have to wait and see. Scott with a bit of Wisdom notes and stats here. He says, after his two-hit, two-walk day with the Iowa Cubs this afternoon, Patrick Wisdom is hitting .391, 2 homers, 9 ribbies, a 1,266 OPS in just 7 games on this MLB rehab. He credits the great voice of Cohen 2 on Twitter because, of course, his first Twitter account got jacked and robbed and bullshit. But the great voice of Alex Cohen, who I hope Alex, this is a call to you, my friend. I hope you come on our show sooner than later because phenomenal. Absolutely the best AAA voice that exists in this world. There's a 1 and a 1A in my eyes at the AAA level. It is a friend of the program, Mr. Jack McMullen, and it's Alex Cohen. Like, those two are consummate professionals. They deserve jobs at the major league level on a day-to-day basis. They're fantastic. Hopefully we'll get him on the show sooner than later. But Tyler, as we look at this thing, I want to talk about some individual games. Obviously, Friday was rough. Jordan Wicks had a tough day, walked a lot of guys, didn't give up a lot of hard contact or anything like that, still struck out a respectable amount of guys. But too many walks, too much inconsistency from a pitch placement standpoint. Saturday was way different. Shota Yamanaga continues to be, especially in the absence of Justin Steele, the most reliable Cubs starter that they have on the staff right now. He still has a zero ERA. The one run he gave up on Saturday was unearned. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about – and Tyler, the thing I think I've realized with Shota, not only does he get the job done, but when he does work himself into jams, he almost knows just mentally how to get out of it. He knows what the game plan is. It's either, you know, twice – he got out of a jam with that high fastball for a strikeout on guys that he knew was going to want to swing on him as righties. Yeah. He says, hey, I'm going to test you high. You want to try and hit off me at 94 up in the zone? Let's do it, bud. Yeah. I'm going to test you. I'm not scared of you. I think Shota has been so impressive right now. And again, the most consistent Cubs starter that they have right now in this rotation. I agree. In the absence of Justin Steele.
So far, he has been the Cy Young of this pitching staff. He has. And 100%. I know he's only made three starts, but it just feels like you said it. It feels like you could see it. He doesn't let the moment, so far in just his short stint in the major leagues, he hasn't let the moment get to him. It's almost like he just knows how to slow his heartbeat down in those kind of situations. And so far, like he's been the ace of, no offense to Justin Steele, because we know he's out right now. He has been the ace of this staff since the second game of the season. Like he has. Like there's no other way to put it. And it's what's impressive is, I mean, even looking on his Savant, he's 100 in fastball run value and pitching run value, 95. Like the dude, I'm gonna be honest, I had my doubts. I had my doubts at first. At first, when he, like, as far as like what to expect coming in, I was like, man, to be honest, I wouldn't have even, I don't even know if I would have agreed at the very beginning of the season before we even signed him, before the Cubs even signed him, as far as like, is this guy going to be even be like in the running for like rookie of the year or anything like that? And I know it's just three games, but my God, Ron, this dude is I've said it about other guys. He's a dog. A dog with a lot of W's and a big G.
Big G, not just a little G. A big G.
Big G.
I like that. I like that. Like Rob says here in the comments, Shota's awesome. Hell yeah, he's awesome. Honestly, I think that's the beauty of Shota, because a lot of people were like, well, you're signing a guy who's 30 years old and, you know, you're not going to get him in his prime and blah, 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 whatever. But a 30-year-old pitcher who's done this before, especially in the MPB, the good old Nippon League, knows how to get out of situations. He's done this long enough. Shota Yamanaga has done exactly that. And as 85 Decibel Monk says here, 2-0, zero ERA, eggs crackling in the background. Mm. Any questions? None. None whatsoever. I think Shota has been incredible. I want to give love to another a comment here from 85 Decibel. He says, Wicks needs to just trust his stuff. Getting too fancy, he does have the stuff. I agree.
He does.
And Tyler, this might be the situation where we jump the gun a little bit in our rundown.
Yep.
Because there's a lot of things to consider with this Cubs pitching staff coming up here in the near future.
There is. And I think I know where you're going, Ron.
You know exactly where I'm going. Jameson Taillon.
I know where you're going.
Is due back soon. His next start period is going to be at the major league level, according to Craig Counsell, as of Saturday. So they're just trying to figure out where to fit him in. He threw Friday. So in theory, if you give him a 5 days rest, he could throw as early as Wednesday. I don't know if that means he throws on Wednesday. Maybe he throws Thursday once they get back to Chicago in that Marlins series. I should be at that game on Thursday, so I kind of hope he does. But There are reinforcements coming. Justin Steele also threw a bullpen on Saturday in Seattle, so he's been traveling with the team as well. This rotation is going to get healthy, and this is where the question has to come, because we all know what Shota Imanaga can do. He's going to be in the rotation regardless. Truthfully, I think what Javier Assad did today, Tyler, and we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about him in a little bit here, but he was really good today. Five and two-thirds, but outside of that home run, that was his only real mistake he made against the Mariners in this game today. He was really, really, really fucking good.
Oh, yeah. He has been really, really, really good since since last season and the season and the second half of the season before last.
Absolutely. He's been fantastic. So you've got him. It really kind of does come down to who do you take out of this rotation out of three names once Tyone and Steele on different timelines but respectively come back. Wicks, Hendricks, and Brown. Two of the three have to leave the rotation because you're not taking – I can't make an argument for Javier Assad coming out of the rotation, and there have been many others in our comment section tonight that have felt the exact same way. Like Hank said a little bit earlier, he said it before, he'll say it again, if Council takes Assad out of the rotation, he's going to lose his shit. In fact, I think he said he's going to lose his fucking shit, because I'm just going to add that in there because, you know, for effect. But again, who, Tyler, do you take out of the rotation? First, it's going to be Tyone first, so we only have to do this one at a time. Who's your first guy out of the rotation right now once Jameson Tyone comes back? And then once Justin Steele is ready to be activated, who's your next guy out of the rotation?
I think first guy out, and mainly it's because of tomorrow, I believe Ben Brown is scheduled to start tomorrow. I believe tomorrow will be his last outing as of right now. I feel like he'll start tomorrow, and then he will be the guy that is replaced by Jameson Taillon. Now, between Jordan Wicks and Kyle Hendricks, Kyle's slated to throw Tuesday. I know you're going to bring, you know, you'll bring the pitching matchups at the end of the show, but Kyle is slated to pitch Tuesday. And Ron, I'm telling you, like, I get it. Jordan Wicks wasn't his best self on Friday, but I saw a lot the weekend before, last weekend when he mowed down Dodgers hitters. That version of Jordan Wicks, that was enough to tell me if I had to pick between Jordan Wicks and Kyle Hendricks, Ron, I'm going Jordan Wicks. Is that the choice that Craig goes with? I don't know, but you don't take. I've got to agree with a lot of the guys and girls in the comments. Like Assad is a sure thing. Assad is in this rotation. He's proven it in the bullpen as well. But like Assad as a starter, the guy gives you six innings at least almost every single outing. I love the fact the dude has it's like a 2.9 career ERA or maybe right around a three. And as a starter has been below a three his whole career. Just the idea of taking Assad out of this rotation. I can't picture it either. Who was the one that just said he was going to lose his shit? Whoever that one was, I'm right there with you, buddy. I'm right there with you because I just after the game, like just looking up facts and stats and everything like that post game, I'm so happy that this guy Assad doesn't even hit arbitration until 2026. But with that being said, like I'm doing everything right now to keep Assad in this rotation. So if I have to pick another person, it's not Assad. And I don't think it's Jordan Wicks. I think Kyle Hendricks, Tuesday may be Kyle's last outing as a starter for the foreseeable future. Hate to say it, but
Tuesday is the last day for Kyle Hendricks, I think, in the rotation. And you know what's crazy?
I hope the best for Kyle on Tuesday. I hope he goes out and throws an 80 pitch complete game shutout and just carves up our guy Brian Lefevre, our guy, miss you, buddy. I hope he goes up and carves up, though. I hope he skins some snakes on Tuesday. I hope he does.
I hope so, too. Jay said it. Hendricks out. Brown out. Rob here saying ass man can shove. Great in the bullpen or as a starter. Hendricks, low man on the totem pole. Hendricks.
It's Hendricks. All Hendricks, man.
More Hendricks. A lot of people are down on Hendricks right now, and it seems like he'll be the guy out. I agree. Javier Assad, 2.16 ERA right now this season. He has been that freaking good, as Jeremiah says here. What's good, brother? How are you? Special teams, special plays, special players. Tuesday is the next time you will see Kyle Hendricks again, as a reminder. But I'll tell you what, it's got to be Javier Assad in this rotation. It's got to be Shota Imanaga, obviously, on this rotation. I agree with you. I think Wicks has done enough. I think he just had a rough outing. I think people need to give, like, you mentioned it, Tyler, right? We don't have, like, the Cubs don't have the, like, the time to give hitters growing pains right now because of the way this rotation is built or this lineup is built. Mm-hmm. Rotation-wise, though, Jordan Wicks is still going through growing pains. Like, I think most people don't realize that he's only in his, what, like, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th start at the major league level, if that. Like, he is a baby by major league standards. So he's still kind of figuring it out as well. And then, again, once Steele gets back, once Tyone gets back, eventually, again, Scott's been kind of banging on the door for him here. Eventually, Horton's going to bang on the door. Brown's going to bang on the door. Like, eventually, this pitching group is going to be really deep. But for the time being right now, they just need guys to get them through games.
Yeah, they need guys to get them through games. And like Scott said here, as far as like his prediction for the rotation, Ben Brown, I love Ben Brown. I like the idea of a Ben Brown as a starter. But as far as this season, for this rotation and for this team to get where it needs to be, maybe there's not room for him in the rotation. But that doesn't mean he can't be a nasty bullpen arm. You got a guy that hovers around 98 consistently. I mean, he showed, what was his last outing? It wasn't Seattle. Who'd they play for before Seattle? It was
Padres.
Padres was nasty against the Padres. So maybe he's a guy that makes it to a rotation. And that's not a bad thing, getting booted to the bullpen. But hey, it is what it is right now. And I just don't, kind of with agreeance with everybody else, I just don't see those guys in the rotation pretty soon.
Yeah, I totally agree. A couple of quick little notes from a little bit earlier. Jeremiah saying, raise hand to vote for Mr. Cohen to succeed the GOAT Pat Hughes on the radio. Scott says Pat Hughes replacement equals Scott Cohen. I would love to see it as well. I don't hate Zach Zaidman. I know a lot of people do. I don't, but I just think Alex Cohen is incredible at what he does, and I think he would be a great guy to have on there and being doing this. And Jeremiah giving us some hashtag wisdom here. Jordan Wicks, 10 games in the major leagues. That just shows he's a youngster, and he's still figuring the fuck out and giving this Cubs team an opportunity to win on a pretty, pretty regular basis when it comes to the do's and don'ts of the games. Tyler, the Cubs win this weekend. Things have been good. One thing, finally, that I want to bring up, and then I want to give you the opportunity to have anything that you want to talk about here on the show, is the bullpen.
Yeah.
Because I know we've poo-pooed this bullpen. Mm-hmm. Truly, I know we have. And we also have a roster transaction to talk about here, too. We'll save that for once you're done with any points you want to bring up. But the bullpen has been poo-pooed. In the last 2 days, the bullpen's been really fucking good. Like, truly. I know Neris got into trouble today, worked out of it. But, like, Saturday's game, Almonte, phenomenal. Leiter, phenomenal. 2 days in a row, Leiter, phenomenal. Yeah.
Nasty.
This bullpen is still getting the job done. I know they're still kind of all figuring out who fits where and who does what. This is like, I think people forget, this is like the sixth time in the last like 3 years that we've had to play this who fits where in the bullpen game.
Yeah.
Because the bullpen has been so different from the start of 21 to the start of 24. Like this game has been played so much, Tyler, to the point where like, if it was a deck of cards, I would start counting cards because we played it so much.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming, truly. But I think right now we're getting to a point where this bullpen where I know there's a lot of people in here that were saying, oh, the bullpen was crap. The bullpen's been dog shit. The bullpen's this, the bullpen's that. And then have your opinions. I think that's fair. But at the end of the day, these two series wins, or there's two series games that come from the series win, bullpen was a huge part of both of those games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree. I mean, anytime at the beginning of a season, and I'm guilty of this too, at the beginning of a season, it's easy to look at one guy's one or two relief outings. Maybe he gives up a run or two, and then they come out the next outing. You see those big fat numbers on their little stat line and everything like that. And you're like, oh my God, this guy's struggling. And just the thing with the it's hard to be patient with the bullpen, but you have to give the bullpen time to figure things out. Hector Neris, like you said, yeah, he looked a little rough his last two outings. Today, walked the bases loaded, got out of it. Yesterday, I didn't catch all. I want to say he did give up a run, but here's the thing: as far as today, like I would, and I know this may come off as sounding ridiculous, but as far as with it being early right now for him, I would rather see him walking guys than getting lit up, because that means all it is just throwing strikes. I would, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's not like, oh God, Hector's season is just over. Like, oh, Hector's not going to be good for the Cubs this season because of this and that. And it's like, okay, he's walking guys right now. Let him let him calm down, get comfortable, figure things out. And the thing is, Craig Counsell, if there's one guy to figure out this bullpen to figure out who's going to fit where, it's Craig Counsell. And to be honest, right now, Almonte, after seeing him today and yesterday, I think he may have something special in Almonte. Looked pretty nasty today. I don't know, but give the bullpen time. Again, it's easy to be guilty of being that person that's sitting here yelling at the bullpen, like, why does this bullpen suck? Blah, blah, blah. But like, just give it time.
I agree. Give it time indeed. A lot of really interesting comments here in the comment section, Tyler. So I want to read a couple of these off just so everybody on the show can understand what's going on here. Hank says, I have this weird feeling that Counsell is putting Brown in the pen and keeping Hendrickson in the starting rotation once Tyone is activated. He's hoping that he is wrong. Jeremiah mentioned that first half 2021 Cubs bullpen was something special. That was the Andrew Chafin, Craig Kimbrel bullpen. 85 Decibel saying, we wiggled out of these jams without Little. Luke Little did not pitch in this series very much. That's something to walk away with on a positive note. Scott from Iowa at Hank. I think after JMO comes up, Counsell runs a six-man rotation for about 2 or 3 weeks to see if Brown or Hendricks gets the first bullpen nod. That would be interesting to see. Darren said once that five-man is set, the bullpen should be easier to read. Jeremiah misses Brandon Hughes. And Keegan Thompson is back. And Scott says he will end up as the eighth inning guy.
The Swiss Army knife is back.
He is back. And I'll tell you what, 2 innings clean, no walks, no hits, no runs, 3 Ks in that outing on Friday night. Again, it was in a loss, but
still.
I'll tell you what, for Keegan Thompson, though, I think a lot of people said this, and I have to give, again, credit where credit is due. Bleacher Nation originally said this, and they're 100% right. This Keegan Thompson promotion is not about, oh, he's back and he's going to do this and do that. It's, hey, homeboy, can you stay on the roster? Or are you going to get DFA'd when we need to promote one of these kids this year because these pitchers are coming?
Yeah.
So Keegan's fighting for his life right now for a roster spot. Good first outing for Keegan Thompson here in this series, albeit in, kind of garbage time work, but 2 clean innings with 3 Ks. That's how you stay on the roster.
Yeah, and if he and it's with a lot of guys in this bullpen. If these guys can just get their swagger, if they can get their swagger back, get that swagger going, especially with a guy like Keegan.
I'm a swagger back.
Yeah, because I think last season we were putting Keegan Thompson and I believe Assad and Adbert all in the same category as far as like these Swiss Army bullpen guys, these hybrid bullpen starter type guys, if these guys, if Keegan can get that swagger back that he had last season, before, I want to say before he got hurt, because I want to say he got hurt and then he came back like kind of close to the end of the season, right? I want to say like he came back against Pittsburgh, maybe.
So he was good early in 2023. Yeah. And then that Astros series ruined him.
Kind of got lit. Yeah.
If he got destroyed.
Yeah.
Went back to Iowa. Didn't come back until late August. The Pittsburgh series was the first time we saw him. But like Scott says, 2021 Keegan was really good. Pitched to, I believe, a 3.38 ERA.
If he can just get that Keegan Thompson swagger back that he knows he has. He showed it before, and that's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing with relievers, man. That's like they can have that one season, and then the next – every season with the reliever, it's just – it, you can say that about everybody, Tyler. It's just different with relief pitchers. So if he can just get it back, man, God, that would be such an awesome weapon to have right now.
There's a reason that the best relievers get paid a lot of fucking money, folks, because it is such a volatile position on the roster. Jeremiah says he wants Keegan to start more fights. Hey,
right? It's just the biggest – it is probably the biggest – what have you done for me lately job there could be in sports?
1,000%. I don't think you could say it any better than what you just said, my friend. We have one more thing to talk about, Tyler, and then anything that you want to open this thing up to. Yeah. But we have to talk about Julio Teheran is a Chicago Cub on a minor league deal, albeit, but a guy who was a two-time All-Star in Atlanta Brave 2014 and 2016, came up as a 20-year-old in 2011. He is currently 33 years old, just turned 33 about 78 days ago, 1991 birthday. He pitched this year with the Mets here in 2024, just one game, but he gave up four earned in 2 2/3 innings. They got rid of him. Cubs signed him to a minor league deal. What do you think of the Julio Teheran addition for the Cubbies here as depth?
I mean, it's a cheap depth. It's a cheap depth piece. If, you know, maybe it's a project piece. I mean, Teheran, I'm going to ruin his name. Probably just did very, very good with his with the Braves. I think there was a time between like 2013 through 2019. I mean, hell, he was an All-Star. I think he's a two-time All-Star.
Two-time All-Star.
Opening day starter for the Braves. His last few seasons haven't been very successful. With that being said, you said it. He's just 33 years old. Honestly, I thought he was a lot older than that. I thought he was going to be like 36 maybe. But I don't know. I mean, I'll take a depth piece. You never know. You never know. And maybe Tommy Hotovy can figure something out with him. I mean, you can't really hate it. It's not like, I don't think, what is it? Is it a minor league? You said a minor league deal?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, can't hate it. Maybe he figures something out in the minors and hell, who knows? Like, whoever it was, maybe Scott or whoever, maybe they go with a 6-man rotation eventually. And he just, I mean, knock on wood, the way, like, every time it feels like I open up Twitter, there is a pitcher getting hurt. Let's hope that doesn't happen with the Cubs, but you're probably going to see stuff like this, little move with Julio. You're probably going to see a lot of this more often this season with teams, you know, grabbing these pitchers on minor league deals, almost like a just in case type deal. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, well said. Scott from Iowa says it's trade bait, but I agree with you, Tyler. I think it's just because the concern for pitching is at an all time high.
Yeah,
when Jeff Passan writes an article exclusively on the injuries in pitching right now at the major league level, that's when you know it's an epidemic that's going on right now here. 85 Decibel says low risk and potential high reward. Completely agree. Jeremiah says knocks on wood that happy. The bullpen has been relatively healthy so far. Also agree with that. Before we get to Dave's comment, Everett says, I saw a lady with a Teheran t-shirt on years ago and thought, is he still pitching? Yeah. Hey, He's outlasted the average expectancy for most players. And then David says, Hendricks needs a timeout. The pen is where you can work out his problems. Not losing games as a starter. Just regularly set up as a startup guy for maybe Assad. Pitch two innings, Assad a five-inning guy. Maybe. Hey, who knows? There's a lot of options that they can do going forward. Tyler, I want to open the floor to you here really quick before we look ahead to this Diamondback series. Anything else you want to mention with the Cubs? in the series.
Yeah, just a quick little shout out to Miguel Amaya. I know he hit a home run yesterday. It's good to see that so far. Yeah, I know he's only batting 250, but as a catcher, that's pretty freaking good. It's good to see that Craig has put him in the lineup more often than maybe we all thought. I think he's played 9 games so far this season. Really good to see, because as we all know, love Yan Gomes. No disrespect to Yan Gomes. He's at a point in his career where, yeah, he's probably not going to play every single game this year. So I think the question coming in this offseason was, who's going to be that guy that's going to take over for Yan Gomes? Is it going to be Miguel Amaya, who, you know, was the backup guy last season? We saw him in, you know, with certain pitchers last season. He was kind of like, you know, Gomes goes 3, Amaya goes 2 guys, whatever. But it's good to see so far that it seems like he's had a good connection, good relationship, all that kind of stuff with his guys, with his pitchers. And he's hitting the ball pretty well so far. So shout out to Miguel Amaya. Hope that can continue, because as you all know, you got to have a good catcher. You got to have a catcher. So shout out to him.
Absolutely. 85 decibels here in the comments says any production out of the catcher position is gravy. Yep. On the old potatoes. I agree. Amaya, first home run of the season. It was a nice insurance run in that Saturday win. And again, the Cubs take the series on Sunday with a beautiful dub and take the series win. This has been a fun Sunday fun day, Tyler, but we do have to turn to the start of the week, because the Cubs open up a quick 3-game series with the Arizona Diamondbacks here Monday through Wednesday. They do return to Wrigley Field on Thursday. That's a 4-game set starting on Thursday with the Miami Marlins. On Monday, it is Ben Brown slated to start for the Cubbies. He will go against Merrill Kelly, who's off to a hot start for the Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are 8-8 on the season. Kelly has a 2.29 ERA and is 2-0 in his season so far. Ben Brown's number's a little skewed because of that opening, but he's off to a rough start. And then it will be the lefty against Kyle Hendricks on Tuesday. It'll be Tommy Henry. And Tyler, before we get started with this old this preview here, we know the Diamondbacks are on the schedule. I'm still over.
Yes, you are.
On Dinger's Picks. I'm the and only trust
me,
one.
Trust me, everybody knows it too. I've seen the comments, Ron.
Oh, I know. I have too.
Yeah.
It's bad. I am over. Tuesday night, assuming my Dinger Pick does not hit on Monday.
It won't. Let's just be honest. It won't. It's not. It's not going to happen. I hope the best too. I hope the best, but it just won't. We know it, Ron. We know it. It won't.
But Tuesday night might be the 999 challenge. Keep your eyes peeled, folks, because if that's the case, it'll be a live stream right here where I'm sitting. Right here. It'll be a 999 challenge with 9 beers and 9 dogs and 9 innings. Tyler said he will join me on a live stream. We'll do it right here on StreamYard. You guys can watch me devour hot dogs and chug beers as a sacrifice to the home run gods, so I can get just one point.
Just one.
In the Dinger Picks. Just one this year, baby, because we are off to the ultimate slump-busting start with an 0-14 right now as things stand. And as Jeremiah says here, 999 challenge. Yes, the 999. We're going 999. It's going to be something. It is going to be something. But Tyler, Diamondbacks coming up this week. Tough team on the schedule here again as part of this West Coast road trip. They took a series win over a very good Seattle Mariners team. Can they do it again against the D-backs here? And will they, on Monday, pull out and get an early series win?
Hey, as we all know, last season it felt like the Diamondbacks was almost like Chicago's Achilles heel. Couldn't quite get over the D-backs. With that being said, you got to jump on – one, you're on the road still, West Coast. Offense has to jump on this team early, because as we know, the Diamondbacks can score runs. You got freaking Corbin Carroll leading off. Guy's faster than a freaking cheetah. I mean, got to score runs early. Kind of like they've done so far in the past couple games, especially off a lot of good pitchers. Also, Ben Brown, really, I'm really excited about watching him tomorrow. I really am. I'm glad to see that he's finally getting a start. Yeah, that first outing kind of stunk. Got put in a situation where, you know, maybe he's not used to. Got his ERA up a little bit. Tomorrow, though, I'm telling you, I want to say, what was it? The Padres was his last outing. Looked really nasty.
He did.
Maybe he carries that over tomorrow. Be nice to see. But got to score early. Got to score early.
I agree. Get on them early, and all things will work out well. Darren says Nico is due. That's an interesting pick to keep in mind. Scott says dinger tip for Ron. Jackie Robinson Day equals rookies hitting dingers, which if that's the case, I'm taking either Michael Bush or Miguel Amaya probably on Monday. I don't know if Bush goes 5 for 5. If I don't pick him and he does, then Tuesday is all but locked up. So if I don't win, everybody else wins.
Maybe like whatever Juice sends in the text message as far as who he picks. Maybe you, oh man, there was an accidental typo and you put Juice's pick for you and just see what happens. Maybe that works. I don't know.
See, but the problem, Juice,
he'll pick Bush probably anyways, and he'll probably go 5 for 5.
And then the problem with that is, though, is I'll take Bush and Bush won't hit, and whoever Juice takes as a second pick will hit.
Yeah.
Because that's just my luck. That is just my fucking luck. Yeah. And it'll be interesting. A lot of six-man rotation comments here tonight, Tyler. Yeah. I know Craig has already mentioned it. David said it here a little bit earlier. Council addressed the six-man rotation. He's not a big fan. Occasionally, perhaps, to rest guys, but not on a regular basis. So it could happen now because of Tyone kind of being inserted into the rotation. I could see that happening. But again, I don't think it's something that we're going to consistently see over the course of a 162. And again, I think for the people that are getting concerned with certain guys, and I have to remind myself of this as well, we are 15 games into the season.
Yep.
There are about 146 games, 47 games left in the year.
Yeah.
It's a lot of baseball. Shit will be okay.
Yeah. And for a six-man rotation, yeah, it in theory it may be an okay idea, but also you also got to think of the potential tax you can put on a bullpen doing that too. So I don't know. I don't see it happening anytime soon.
I agree. I don't either. Apologies for the fucking sneeze. I don't know where that came from, but you know, Sunday fun day. Things sneak up on us, and we go through it again. If things don't work out on Monday, Tuesday. 999 challenge. It'll be a live watch along, which if that ends up being the case, might be a very brief presser after the fact for a post game show. But the 999 will be the big content on Tuesday. So keep an eye out for that if that's going to happen. If it does, it sounds like it'll be us two again. So we'll bullshit throughout the game. We'll talk about what's going on. And then you guys can watch me devour 9 hot dogs and slug 9 beers because I need to do something to get on the board. I'm the only one of the 9 of us between Cubs on Tap and Dingers to not have a fucking dinger pick hit yet. I'm the only one. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me, Tyler.
Just you. Just Ron on an island by himself.
Just me. Just me. Scott with a fair question here before we kind of wrap this thing up here, Tyler. What are you putting on the hot dogs? That's a good question. Well, so I'm not a ketchup guy on a hot dog. I love me some mustard. It depends how much stuff I want to buy, really, is what it is. Yeah. I don't have the traditional, folks, you got to remember, I just moved into this place. I don't have the traditional get up of a Chicago style hot dog. I have celery salt. That's all I have of a traditional Chicago style hot dog right now at this apartment. So whatever I feel like getting and buying, we'll probably get some relish, a little bit of mustard, probably some sport peppers. That's probably where we'll top it. And that'll probably be where it stands. And we will need to see where it goes from there.
I think it all depends. It depends on the situation. Like in your instance, Ron, if you're doing a 999 challenge, I'm not stuffing my hot dogs. At the same time, like on opening day, I was in the mood to I ate 3 hot dogs. I've never bought 3 like full size hot dogs at a game. I usually get like one and I'm good. I spent over $30. When you think about that, over $30 on hot dogs, just hot dogs on opening day. And the first two, I just put a little bit of mustard and a little bit of relish, and that was it.
That's perfect.
And then the other one was I actually had like the Chicago style dog. But I did learn, I want to say, is it Wright Field? Is Wright Field the only place in Wrigley Field that has grilled hot dogs? Is that true?
That's a fair question. I don't know.
I did not know that until, and like I said, I'm going to have to find out. I'm going to be there in May. I'm going to have to find out in May, which, wow, that's less than a month away. I'm pretty sure Wright Field, somewhere in Wright Field, is the only place that has grilled hot dogs. But I could be completely wrong. I could.
I think
somebody's shouting at the screen right now, like, you idiot, you're wrong.
But I think we'll have to go to the old TikTok and the good old Jewish Jonah, who's a hot dog vendor at Wrigley Field. We're gonna have to ask him that question because he will know the question. We'll have to get on that. Jay asks, does the goat need to make your picks? No, you know who needs to make my picks, folks? And I got a story for you guys here real quick as we wrap this thing up and start to wind this thing down. My girlfriend, Miss Katie, needs to make my picks for me, because this woman has the best intuition of any person I've ever met in my entire life when it comes to anything in this world. Yesterday, I told her, I said, I'm taking Bellinger. And she goes, okay, babe. And I went, what the fuck does that mean? And she goes, I mean, I would have taken Bush, but you took Belly. That's cool. And I'm like, okay. And then Bush hits a home run and she looks at me and goes, you should let me pick your dinger picks for you. And I'm like, maybe I should. So tomorrow, Miss Katie is going to make the pick for me. We'll even get a video with it too, so you guys don't disbelieve me and say that I'm just making shit up. But she's going to make the pick for me. The real goat is going to make the pick for me. Jay says, do we need the goat to make your picks for you? The real goat's going to make the pick for me tomorrow. And if it doesn't hit tomorrow, then the 999 challenge is a thing on Tuesday. Jeremiah says, guys, I found a Bush Keeney. No, absolutely not. I already probably have to wear a Mankini because of my bet with Joey Rakota about Javier Assad in that second game, which he got sabotaged, which I think is bullshit, but that's neither here nor there. Darren says sauerkraut. Love a sauerkraut on a hot dog. More so on a Polish sausage, but
yeah,
neither here nor there. Scott from Iowa, get some peppercini. Change your taste a little halfway through. I like a good peppercini. I'm a big peppercini guy. Ron B. in the doghouse. I'm not in the doghouse, thank God, but quickly hear from Dave. Dodgers lose. What a shame. Lux is in the lineup. 0 for 3. Thinking they would have tried Bush to play second instead. Hey, Dodger fans. Yeah, hey, we got him, and it all makes us happy. Again, Tyler, the Cubs win a series. This has been a fun night. We're reaching the hour point here. Just good shit from the Cubbies all around in this Seattle series. Way to bounce back after that Padres series. Three tough games coming up here with the Diamondbacks. My friend, I want to open the mic up to you here really quick before we shut this thing down. Final thoughts before we get out of here on Sunday Fun Day.
Final thoughts. I don't want to get like maybe not like a super in-depth. We don't have to. Are we a little nervous about Nico? Because I did notice they had a fun fact on TV on the marquee channel today about the Cubs were in last place. In stolen bases, and I want to say stolen base attempts.
Yes.
Little nerve-wracking.
Yes.
I know it's early.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And,
Hey, he had a hit today. Had a sack fly in yesterday's game.
Got picked off, but...
He did. That was... Don't even get me started on the pickoff. We don't have time to get over the pickoff, but I'm right there with you, Tyler. I am also concerned about Mr. Nico Horner. I hope he turns it around. Again, we're 15 games in. I'm not going to freak out yet.
Maybe put him in the non-spot.
Yeah.
Say, hey, treat it like the leadoff spot. Kind of like he did the season before last when he got super, super hot, kind of like in the second half, of the, I want to say in 22 maybe. But Yeah, for a guy that got 40-plus stolen bases, part of me at first wanted to be like, man, I think he's pushing a little too hard. Maybe he still is. I don't know, because you had a hell of a season last season, and then you come into this season probably with high expectations. We all had we still have high expectations for Nico.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just little nervous about it.
Me too. The old goggles are on the Mr. Nico Horner here from here on out. Because I agree with you. I am also a little concerned about Nico Horner. Darren says, time for Nico and Dansby to get hot. I agree. And Scott wants to hear a big FTC from Tyler. So, Tyler, with that in mind, yeah. Cubs on Tap is one of two official podcasts here at the On Tap Sports Network covering your Chicago Cubs. Be sure to follow our friends over at the Dingers Podcast. They will be live tomorrow night, as will we after the Diamondbacks game. So we will be the later show of the two. The Dinger show will go live at around 8:15 Central Time. Be sure to follow them at Dinger Cubs on the socials. Be sure to follow us as well at Cubbies on Tap on the socials as well. I am at Loose on Tap. Tyler is at Fred Teddy Freddy 270, at Juice on Tap, at Joey Knows Nothing, at Nick _ on Tap. Be sure to follow the whole crew. And again, give love to Mr. Bobby Foster. You guys will meet him eventually here on the Cubs on Tap airwaves. He is at Silent Bob _2 on the socials as well. You guys know the drill. Bulls, Bears, Blackhawks. Hey, Blackhawks, Frank Nazar scored his first goal tonight in his NHL debut. It was cool and fucking tough, and I loved every second of it. I think every person on Clark Street and in my building heard me when he scored tonight. It was awesome. I was multitasking. I had the Cubs on one screen, the Hawks on another. It was a great Sunday, folks. Be sure to follow along. Four Feathers Podcast, Bulls on Tap. You guys know the drill, as well as Bears on Tap. Draft is coming up real quick here, folks. We're less than 2 weeks away. Be sure to follow at Bears on Tap. And again, you guys know the drill. Your friends like the Southsiders, you know them. Our friends like the Southsiders, and we know them too. Your friends, our friends, they can be friends over at Sox on Tap. OnTapSportsNet.com, at OnTapSportsNet on the socials, the OnTap Sportsnet. Go and check out what's on tap in Chicago sports. Tyler, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Always great to talk to you. I'll see you in like 2 weeks at Wrigley Field.
May 6th. Padres. I believe it's May 6th. Maybe it's May 7th. One or the other. I done booked the flight and everything. I will be there in person, in the flesh, with you, in the bleachers. It's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. I'm very excited about it as well. With that in mind, we will see you guys very soon. What do you say, Tyler? We got out here the only way to how?
Only one way, Ron. Ronald, let me talk to you. Series win, baby. Series win. Here's the thing. I woke up this morning. What? Went to
what?
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 Ate lunch. What? What? Mowed the yard. Before I mowed the yard.
What?
Cracked open a beer. What?
What?
Drank another beer.
What?
Drank three beers.
What?
Got to watch the Cubs game on what? My back porch in the sun.
What? What?
Cubs won.
What?
Got to looking at the stats.
What?
Got to looking at the scores. What was that? What?
What?
And noticed, Ron.
What'd you notice?
What? St. Louis.
What?
Lost.
What?
At that point, I ran out of beer. What?
What?
And then I realized, you know what? You know
what?
It's about time. It's about time that team, what? In St. Louis acknowledged who their daddy was. Let me tell you something. What? Come June 13th, 14th, 15th, I've got it marked on my calendar, St. Louis. I've got it marked. Daddy's going to be in town when you guys come to town. I'm going to get on 65, drive down to Nashville.
What?
Head into BNA.
What?
Get on a plane.
What?
Go all the way up to Chicago.
What?
Get in the stands. I done bought my tickets.
What?
Me and my wife.
What?
To finally say, for the what? First time live this season, to your faces, fuck the Cardinals.
Woo! And let's go Cubbies, baby. Here we go.